Psalm 144, starting with verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge. We see in the New Testament Jesus teaching his people to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like the Lord's Prayer, this psalm starts with God. If you are a Christian, these statements about God are not just statements about what God is like. These statements are personal statements. Notice that the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my loving kindness and my fortress. The Lord is my high tower and my deliverer. He is my shield. He is the one in whom I take refuge. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is talking about prayer, he gives a model prayer that is personal. Our Father, who art in heaven. Emphasis on our Father and heaven. He is both all-powerful, that's what him being in heaven points to. He is all-powerful, but he's also personal. Our Father. God loves his people, and as a good father, he trains his children to be prepared for life. He trains them for the realities of life. The Christian life is a war, and we must treat it as such. It is a struggle, and God trains his people to be ready for that struggle. But as he trains us, part of this training involves the realization that we cannot win spiritual battles by our own strength and by our own courage. We must rely on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for everything. He is our fortress and high tower. We see in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. He is a powerful God who can be relied on by his people for safety and integrity. We can have confidence that God will not send us into a battle that is not part of a just war. He is my goodness, and this goodness never changes. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In this prayer, we pray that his name that is already holy will be recognized more and more to be holy as people are conquered by King Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. This conquering is the kind of conquering that we see when Saul of Tarsus, the enemy of Jesus, is conquered by King Jesus and made to be a friend of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Recognizing how wonderful God is and how wonderful his name is seen at the beginning of verse 1 of this psalm. Blessed be the Lord. Barak. Yes, the same name as our president. And whether you like our president or not, but just think about it, every time you hear his name, you can be reminded of Psalm 144. God makes himself known to us, and we reflect those attributes of God back to him through our biblical praise of him. This is one of the reasons why it is vitally important to only use God's praise book in our corporate worship of him. Every man-made hymn book or praise book has failed in picturing God in the way that he pictures himself in the praise book that He has given us, the book of Psalms. The only book that never fails to show us how to bless the Lord. Once again, God gives us all that we need for life and godliness. Verses 3 and 4. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. A person who is unbelieving might ask, well, if there's a God, why would that God have any real interest in a relatively minute part of his creation? And what is man anyway? Isn't man just a more intelligent form of a monkey? And yet Christians can turn arguments like these on their head and praise God for having such great interest in such a small part of his creation, that being mankind. So much interest that Jesus, God the Son, came to die for a lot of them. When man lives as if there is no God, life, as we see in the book of Ecclesiastes, seems to have no meaning. The life of a man seems vain. He comes, he goes, and he's completely forgotten. God gives every human being's life meaning. And God gives even more meaning to the life of a Christian. Verses 5 through 9. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows, and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me, and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks vain words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Getting back to the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Once again, the Christian life is a war. God does not just prepare us for war. He wins battle after battle for us. And it might be tempting to praise ourselves and each other for spiritual victories, but it is God who wins those spiritual victories, not us. We are to give God and His kingdom everything that we have, down to our very last drops of energy. But when all is said and done, it is King Jesus who wins these battles. Verse 9. I will sing a new song to you, O God, on a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you. Someone might say, ah, we got you on this one, Pastor Gordon. A new song. A harp with 10 strings. We got you there. Well, for one thing, we must consider who is speaking these words. David. David was not just a king. We also see in Scripture that he was a prophet. Capital P, prophet. We see his prophetic work in being the author of many psalms. I might ask the question, is that true of us? Are we prophets, biblically speaking? Also, there is a sense in which we sing a new song unto the Lord when we sing a psalm from a new perspective. When the Holy Spirit changes our lives so that we are able to see more and more truth in the Psalms, we are enabled more and more to sing the same Psalms from a new perspective and thusly sing new songs to the Lord. And with the destruction of the temple, we no longer are commanded to use musical instruments in a system of worship that God has completely done away with. With the new covenant, God has given us something better than physical stringed instruments. He has given us the stringed instruments of the heart as His way of pleasing Him. If we are to bless God, it is important that we bless Him in the way that He has told us to, in what He has given us. We are to use His words for singing in corporate worship, and we are to be singing them with joy from the heart. Psalms and joyful music from the heart. And this joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Both the words and the musical instruments of the heart are given to us by God so that we might bless Him. Verses 10 and 11. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks vain words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Again, we pray that we will be delivered from evil. Now think about this. If David needed to depend on God, a great man like David, and even Jesus Himself depended on His Heavenly Father, what does this say about our need to depend on God for deliverance from evil and the evil one? Verses 12 through 14. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. The kingdom of King Jesus is not a losing kingdom. It's a kingdom of victory. There are a lot of things that Christians have done wrong throughout the years, but the world is a much more prosperous place, both physically and spiritually, than what it would be, theoretically, without the kingdom of King Jesus. Verse 15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy, a share in the Hebrew. In Genesis chapter 30, verses 12 and 13, Zilpah, Leah's maid, bears Jacob a son. And the same word is used three times, basically. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. Stretch it a little bit, might be said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me happy." And she called his name Happy. This happiness that we are looking at in verse 15 is a long-term contentment. It's not happenstance. It's a long-term contentment. It's not a fleeting happiness. It comes from winning a contest or buying that new high-tech toy. It's long-term contentment. Long-term contentment is not an attribute of someone who centers his life on himself and the fleeting moments of happiness that he might experience. Long-term contentment is an attribute of a godly person who is God-centered, who is constantly centering his life on Jesus, and who blesses Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as he blesses God with words that come from God's songbook, with joyful melody from the heart. Speaking of joyful melody from the heart, in the book of Psalms, let's turn to Psalm 144, 144a, our Psalm of the Month. Let's stand.